Hello, everyone. Welcome again to the Living Letter Ministries radio broadcast. Like always, God is good, and He is mightily moving by His Spirit with interest in saving people, His people who will hear Him to the uttermost. He loves us, His people. He loves all of us. He gives every man, hear me good, folks. I love you. He gives people a chance to be redeemed. And He really wants you to know Him. He don't want you to just get saved and have a fire insurance policy. He wants you to know who He is. He died for you and He loves you. He has great intentions for all of us. And He don't want anybody excluded from His kingdom. He died so that we might be saved. Regardless of the past and how things have gone, God is more interested in giving you new life. When people become sincere through Jesus Christ, they love God and they want to know Him. They believe on Jesus Christ. And, you know, with their heart being sincere towards God, God can give them new life. There's no reason to throw them away in the fire. The Lord made hell to stop sin. Hell is for the rebellious fallen angels such as Satan and everybody else that followed him. But any man, woman, or anybody that rebels against life, that's where they're going. I thank God that little children are in the kingdom of God. But when you know better, you got to do better. When you know that you're in sin, you got to get saved. That's just the way it is. And I thank God that little children are in the kingdom of God. And I said little children. But people are bombarding children with all forms of evil. And the enemy is taking children at younger ages. People, you know, there's an old tradition to say that 12 years old is the age of accountability. Not necessarily so. When you understand that you're in sin and that there is sin, Jesus gave us a Savior, and you got to believe on Him. Now, moving on, the Lord loves us. He wants to save us to the uttermost. He wants us to know Him. And He's very interested and motivated in people becoming sincere. But when people see better and they forsake the ways of God, then they excluded themselves, and God can't stop them from doing so. Now let's look at something. The first mention of Jesus Christ. Now, you know, what Jesus came to do was a mystery. But the Lord came to King Ahaz in Isaiah chapter 7. Now listen good to what the Lord told him. And it came to pass in the days of Ahaz, the son of Jotham, the son of Uzziah, king of Judah, that Rezin, the king of Syria, and Pekah, the son of Remaliah, king of Israel, went up toward Jerusalem to war against it, but could not prevail against it. And it was told the house of David, saying, Syria is confederate with Ephraim. And now watch this. And his heart was moved, and the heart of his people, as the trees of the wood are moved with the wind. In other words, when they told Ahaz that Syria and Ephraim was confederate together against him, his heart was moved. He was afraid, and the people see their leader afraid, then they were afraid, and his heart was moved, and the people, in the heart of his people, as the trees of the wood were moved with the wind. When the wind blows on the woods, you see the trees sway in the same direction. Now watch this, verse 3. Then said the Lord to Isaiah, go forth now, Isaiah, the Lord's talking to the prophet Isaiah, go forth now and meet Ahaz, you and Shear Jessup, your son, at the end of the conduit of the upper pool in the highway of the fuller's field. Okay, the conduit brought water to the city. And this is where Isaiah was to go meet Ahaz. Verse 4 said, and say to him, take heed and be quiet. Fear not, neither be faint-hearted because of the tales of these two smoking firebrands. For the fierce anger of Rezin with Syria and of the son of Remaliah. Because Syria, Ephraim, and the son of Remaliah have taken evil counsel against you, saying, let us go up against Judah and vex it, and let us make a breach therein for us, and set a king in the midst of it, even the son of Tabeel. Now this is what they had inspired. This is what they conspired to do against Ahaz. Now watch what the Lord said to Ahaz. Thus saith the Lord God, it shall not stand, neither shall it come to pass. Because the head of Syria is Damascus, which is nothing to me. And the head of Damascus is Rezin. Within 65 years shall Ephraim be broken, that it be not a people. In other words, the people that was worse was trying to destroy a man that was better than them. And his kingdom. Okay. Now watch what the Lord finished saying. He said, and the head of Ephraim is Samaria, and the head of Samaria is Remaliah's son. Now the Lord told Ahaz this. He said to Ahaz, if you will not believe, surely you will not be established. Moreover, the Lord spake again to Ahaz, saying, ask thee a sign of the Lord thy God. Ask it either in the depth, which is hell, or in the height above, which is heaven. But Ahaz said, I will not ask, neither will I tempt the Lord. He should have took the Lord at his word. He should have trusted in the Lord. And he said, hear ye now, O house of David, is it a small thing for you to weary men? But will ye weary my God also? Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Now watch this, folks. See, the battle was not Ahaz's battle. It wasn't time for Judah to go in captivity yet. And he was sitting in Moses' seat at a young age. He began to be king when he was 20. His kingdom lasted 16 years before he died at the age of 36. Okay? The Lord was with him. Lesser nations wanted to attack him because Satan wanted to stop your Savior from coming. Now, so the battle is not his. The battle is the Lord's, but he's the man that the Lord was going to have to use. So again, verse 12, but Ahaz said, I will not ask, neither will I tempt the Lord. Ahaz didn't do like Gideon. Gideon asked questions. Gideon wanted to know the Lord. He wanted to make sure God was with him. But Ahaz said, I will not ask, neither will I tempt the Lord. If you read about Gideon in Judges chapter 6, Gideon made steps to believe God. He got rid of the idols. And then he said, Lord, if you're with me, will you make the fleece wet with the dew and the ground dry? And the Lord did it. Then he said, well, will you let the fleece be dry? And the ground be wet. And the Lord did that. His heart was trying to get to know the Lord. Gideon wanted to know God. He wanted to do it God's way. But Ahaz, he didn't try to fortify himself in the Lord. And he said, hear ye now, O house of David. See, the house of David is Judah. And Ahaz was the king of Judah. Verse 13 said, and he said, hear ye now, O house of David, is it a small thing for you to weary men, but will ye weary my God also? Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God is with us. Butter and honey shall he eat, that he may know to refuse the evil and choose the good. For before the child shall know to refuse the evil and choose the good, the land that thou abhorrest shall be forsaken of both her kings. The Lord shall bring upon thee and upon thy people and upon thy father's house days that have not come. From the day that Ephraim departed from Judah, even the king of Assyria. And it shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall hiss for the fly in the uttermost part of the rivers of Egypt, and for the bee that is in the land of Assyria, and they shall come and shall rest all of them in the desolate valleys, and in the holes of the rocks, and upon all thorns, and upon all bushes. In the same day shall the Lord shave with a razor that is hired, namely by them beyond the river, by the king of Assyria, the head and the hair of the feet, and it shall also consume the beard. See, when the Lord does judgment, he does judgment. He sent the king of Assyria to drive all those evil kings out of the land because they had become apostate. They went back on the covenant. They didn't keep the covenant that God had made with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They broke the laws of Moses. They broke the everlasting covenant. They worked on the Sabbath, gave wine to the Nazarites. They didn't listen to the, they argued with the priest, and they became a land of idolaters. All right, so God had to use the king of Assyria to drive them out of the land. And this isn't the first time. God will drive out, if a nation goes rogue, God will drive them out by a lesser nation. And that's what he did here. Then he said in verse 21, and it shall come to pass in that day that a man shall nourish a young cow with two sheep, and it shall come to pass for the abundance of milk that they shall give, he shall eat butter and honey. He shall eat butter, for butter and honey shall everyone eat that is left in the land. See, God is going to bless his people who love him, no matter what the wicked do. Verses 21 through 25, the Lord is going to protect those that are in covenant with him, those that walk in his ways, those that believe on Jesus Christ. Verses 21 and through verse 25 refers to those in times to come. God is going to protect his people. So, but those that separate themselves from, and they become an enemy against Christ, an enemy against the life of God, they're going to be destroyed. That's what the whole chapter is about. This is Isaiah 7. Now, these broadcasts are on newlivingletters.com, newlivingletters.com. You can listen to the whole broadcast and the other broadcast as well. Now let's go back to verse 21. And it shall come to pass in that day that a man shall nourish a young cow and two sheep. And it shall come to pass for the abundance of milk that they shall give, he shall eat butter, for butter and honey shall everyone eat that is left in the land. And it shall come to pass in that day that every place shall be where there were 1,000 vines and 1,000 silverlings, it shall even be for briars and thorns. In other words, there's going to be so much wealth for God's people who love him. You know, they're going to be grapevines instead of briars and thorns. For with arrows and with bows shall men come there, because all the land shall become briars and thorns. They're going to try to take this. And on all hills that shall be digged with the mattock, that shall not come thither the fear of briars and thorns. But it shall be for the sending forth of oxen and for the treading of lesser cattle. A lot of people look at that and don't understand what it's saying. But when they come and try to take the land from God's people, God is going to have his people secure in it. And he's going to protect them there. Now let's look at Jeremiah chapter 8. See, all the times people have been ignoring what God is doing and fighting against the people of God, things are going to happen. That, see, when you walk in the way of the world hardens your heart. And there's a point that you don't come back. You become reprobate. Now this was Jeremiah 8. It says, at that time, saith the Lord, they shall bring out the bones of the kings of Judah, the bones of the princes, the bones of the priest, the bones of the prophets, and the bones of the inhabitants of Jerusalem out of their graves, and they shall spread them before the sun and before the moon, and all the host of heaven, whom they have loved, whom they have served, after whom they have walked, and whom they have sought, and whom they have worshipped. They shall not be gathered nor be buried. They shall be for waste, for dung, for poop on the face of the earth. These are all the wicked idolaters who serve Satan and not God. Verse 3. And death shall be chosen rather than life by all the residue of them that remain of this evil family, which remain in all the places where I have driven them, saith the Lord of hosts. See, the children of the wicked, they're going to be destroyed because, now this already happened, but I'm showing you what the same things that have happened then is a paradigm for what's going on now. People who reject Jesus, who hate Jesus, who hate life, who hate the ways of God, and they love the ways of the enemy, Satan. They're looking for something that God didn't give. They don't want God. They don't want to know God. They're just like the first generation. That Romans 1 talks about. They didn't want God in their thinking. See, some people don't want God in their thinking process. They want to be God. They want to rule their own life without God. And they want to do whatever they want at any time they want and break the laws of God. The people that were that way, the Lord took them at their own craftiness. And all the kings of Israel and Judah, the ones that didn't obey God, they followed idolatry. They dug their bones up, and they let them rot in the field because they were dishonorable. See, you have to remember, God can't work with evil. It's not possible. So he made preparations for his people to be holy. Holy. And being pure, being sincere, doing people right is reasonable. There's no reason to do people wrong. There's no reason to be evil. There's no reason to be satanic. There's no reason to be a witch. There's no reason to be a fornicator, an adulterer, a homosexual, or anything, any defiled way of life. There's no reason for it. And then to worship these idols that they did and burn their children in the name of other gods that are not even real, that's what they were doing. And death shall be, verse 3, and death shall be chosen rather than life by all the residue of them that remain of this evil family, which remain in all the places where I have driven them, saith the Lord of hosts. Moreover, thou shalt say to them, thus saith the Lord, shall they fall and not arise? Shall he turn away and not return? Why then is this people of Jerusalem slidden back by a perpetual backsliding? They hold fast deceit. They hold fast deceit. They refuse to return. I hearkened and heard, but they spake not aright. No man repented himself of his wickedness, saying, what have I done? Everyone turned to his course as the horse rushes into battle. Yea, even the stork in the heaven knows her appointed times, and the turtle and the crane and the swallow observe the time of their coming. But my people know not the judgment of the Lord. So when people get to the point that they get in sin and won't repent from it, what is God supposed to do with them? Verse 8, how do you say we are wise and the law of the Lord is with us? Lo, certainly, in vain made he it. The pen of the scribes is in vain. All right, what that means is, okay, verse 8, how do you say we are wise and the law of the Lord is with us? Lo, certainly, in vain he made it. And the pen of the scribes is in vain. Everybody, all the prophets and men of God that God has risen up, it's in vain to those that won't listen. And the Lord gave us a straight measuring stick. He gave us his word that he backs up. See, you don't just read the word and it's a dead book. It's a living book. It works. It's been proven. People have studied the word of God and built their lives, built businesses, built nations, and everything else. Brought things back from the dead. Because what I mean by that is a person with no hope at all, they start reading and living by the word of God, and their life come back. They get a job, it blesses the whole job. It blesses, they leave a legacy. So people that take God serious, when they are sincere and take God serious and they do his word, then he backs them up. So the people that the Lord raised up to be a blessing, the pastors and prophets and evangelists that God uses to minister to others, and they hear that works were not in vain. But everybody who turned their ear away from those, they turned their way away from the people that God raised up, and they turned their ear away from the word of God, then certainly in vain made he it. All the Bibles in the world, all the preachers in the world that love God, they're in vain because people won't listen. But to those that listen, you know, it was relevant. It was a blessing. Okay, the wise men are ashamed. They are dismayed and taken low. They have rejected the word of the Lord, and what wisdom is in them? All right, now watch what happens. Therefore will I give their wives to others, and their fields to them that shall inherit them. Hear them. For everyone from the least even to the greatest is given to covetousness. From the prophet even to the priest, everyone deals falsely. See, there are those who are priests and prophets, but they went awry. They didn't stick with the ways of God. Comparing though the true men of God and the true word of God, when people reject them, then their works were in vain for them, for those that rejected. But see, and then when people go corrupt, verse 10 is talking about those that went corrupt. Therefore will I give their wives to others and their fields to them that inherit them. For everyone from the least even unto the greatest is given to covetousness. They started playing with the world. From the prophet even to the priest, everyone deals falsely. For they have healed the hurt, verse 11, they have healed the hurt of the daughter of my people slightly, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. Were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? No, they were not at all ashamed, neither could they blush. Therefore shall they fall among them that fall. In the time of their visitation, they shall be cast down, saith the Lord. Everybody who went astray to serve the world, they got corrupt, they got greedy, they became abominable in their ways. Even priests and prophets got to this point of corruption. The Lord, this is what the Lord says. See, when he take his people off the earth, it's the same thing about Jeremiah chapter 8. They dug up the bones of the evil priests and kings and priests and prophets that, you know, that's what we're talking about. He said he dug up the bones of the kings of Judah, the bones of his princes, the bones of the priests, the bones of the prophets, the bones of the inhabitants of Jerusalem out of their graves. They were buried honorably, but they would because they were dishonorable. The Lord said, I'm going to have them dug up and laid out in the field because they were corrupt. And when this happened, a prophet prophesied that this would happen, and it happened in the days of Josiah. So the Lord is showing people that I was never with these. All right, when the Lord comes back, there's a scripture that said the dead in Christ shall rise first. All right, all the bones of everybody who believed on Jesus from the time of Jesus all the way up to now, everybody that believed on them, they're gonna come out of their graves alive. They're gonna have empty graves. Everybody that got a Christian burial, but they were insincere. They wasn't really of God. their bones are still going to stay in their grave. See, God, this is the same kind of situation. Verse 10 says, I will give their wives to others, which means they'll die, and somebody else will marry them, and their fields to them that shall inherit them. For everyone from the least even to the greatest is given to covetousness, from the prophet even to the priest. Everyone deals falsely. And there are preachers out there who went awry, and they didn't do what God said do. And they taught wrong. They healed the hurt of the daughter of my people, slightly saying, peace, peace, when there's no peace. You've got to be sincere. There's no substitute for sincerity. God knows when you're telling the truth, and just like he knows when you're lying. If you cry out to the Lord in sincerity, God's going to hear you and bless you. If you're in covenant through Jesus Christ, he's going to bless you. Were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? No, they were not ashamed. You can't get people to repent these days that love the world. You can't follow God with a satanic mindset either. So it said, were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? No. Nay, they were not at all ashamed. Neither could they blush. Therefore shall they fall among them that fall. In the time of their visitation, they shall be cast down, saith the Lord. He said, I will surely consume them, saith the Lord. There shall be no grapes on the vine, nor figs on the fig tree. And the leaf shall fade, and the things that I have given them shall pass away from them. Why do we sit still? Assemble yourselves, and let us enter into the defense cities, and let us be silent there. For the Lord our God hath put us to silence, and given us water of gall to drink, because we have sinned against the Lord. We looked for peace, but no good came, and for a time of health, and behold, trouble. See, that's what happens when people turn from God. They turn from the source of life, and they give their attention to the source of death. Satan come to kill, steal, and destroy. The people he deceived, their operations kill, steal, and destroy. The people that are seduced by, their ways kill, steal, and destroy. And the people that give in to greed. See, the world system is the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. And when people go down that road, what happens is they do what Satan would do. They become dream killers instead of people that produce vision, the life of God in people. And they become soothsayers. They say what people want to hear, but it has no living effect. So when people made these kind of choices and they're known for being the people of God, God is going to expose them for what they are.